Okay, tonight I want to talk about a subject. But first I want to read a scripture verse to you, because I believe that the scripture verse is pertinent to what we're going to talk about. The scripture verse is found in the book of Titus, which Titus is a small letter that was written by Paul to the disciple Titus. And it's chapter 2, verse 11, 12, and 13. It says this: "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." In verse 14, "who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." And that goes right along with what we're going to talk about in just a minute that I'm going to share with you. But if you notice there where it says that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age right now. So teaching us, this is a teaching. This is something that is taught, teaching someone to be godly, teaching someone to walk in righteousness and to shun unrighteousness and worldly lust and walking godly in this present age. That's what's being said here, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ comes and teaches us these things. This is how you are if you are a true Christian. But I want to talk about today, and I have some notes here, but I want to talk about today about a video that was put out by Francis Schaeffer, and it's called "How Should We Then Live?" And I watched this real quick video, and I made some notes on it, but there's some highlights in there that I wanted to talk about and share that I thought might be really helpful. Francis Schaeffer was a Quaker. He had Quaker leanings, and he and his wife had set up a like ministry home. I really don't know what you call it. I didn't really follow him that closely. He set up a ministry home called Labrie in Switzerland. And people would come from all over the world to study and to be there and to fellowship and this type of thing. But Francis Schaeffer was, people would almost call him the father of the conservative Christian movement, the Christian coalition type of thing. He was big on having Christians be engaged in the world to change society for Jesus. So, and in this video that he does, he talks about a lot of things, and I'm going to read some of the things, and then I'm going to comment on them. In one part of the video, he says this, quote, "A Christian is not a pessimist. He's not a pessimist on two levels. One, history is going someplace, and Christ is coming back, and this is the final solution. But every Christian really that understands the scriptures, also in every generation, he is watching, fighting, and struggling, and doing all that he can, not only to see individuals come to Christ, but the culture touched by individual Christians." The culture being touched by individual Christians. We would not have a problem with this statement except for the fact that we are not called to touch the culture. We are called to touch individuals. We are called to minister to individual people, to declare the gospel to them that they may become saved. That is our mission. I've said this before in many other videos. I've said this before on podcasts. Our mission, Christians, mine and everyone else who claims to be born again and knows Jesus Christ personally, our mission is to declare the gospel, to give the gospel to those who do not know him, that their lives may be changed, that Jesus may change their lives so they may become Christians. We are to multiply ourselves. If you want to call it the Multiply Movement, which there is a organization called that, the Multiply Movement, that's basically what we are. We're about multiplication. We should be multiplying. We should be constantly multiplying. So he says that. He says that the culture is touched by individual Christians. And then he goes on. He says, in the 1960s, film and arts, music, had a tremendous influence on people to abandon traditional values. He goes on to say that if people start with themselves and believe there is no God, they leave off distinguishing fantasy and reality or illusions. And that is true, that when the basic humanistic evolutionary principle is you start with yourself. Man starts with himself. And that's a dangerous place to be, to start with yourself. It's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. So in that sense, it's true. And he really tries to trace down through the 1960s, 70s, 80s, and on upward into the present day of how people are and how they are, how the culture is influencing Christianity. That's basically what he's trying to say. He says, again, in the 60s, people were pounded over and over in the arts, movies, magazines, books, TVs, theater, the schools, of removal of God, prayer, and Bible reading. Universities with humanism and self, the culture and education, stressed no God, which in turn led to no values, no ethical or moral constraints. Basically, that's what happened. From late 50s, early on into the 60s, and on upwards into today, you had an absolute agenda with the public school systems, with the public universities, with institutions of higher learning, these places, and even it's even in seminaries. Trust me, it is. Bible colleges and seminaries, it's all in there. And the agenda was to dumb down a whole generation of people, to make them stop thinking for themselves or researching or finding out information, but just following the status quo, that you were a sludge that came from the ocean. You evolve. There is no God. Stop worrying about moral values. Go do what you want. Have fun. Live your life. Die, and that's it. And removing God completely. America is on a track and has been and is actually making very strong headway in removing God from – they've completely removed him from schools, from higher learning, and have removed the principles of the Scriptures and of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and are on track to completely just annihilate this. And you have to understand, the enemy is clever. He's not going to just obliterate Christianity in America and put an end with it. He is very clever, and what he is trying and attempting to do, and if you have eyes to see and ears to hear and know the Scriptures and know the Lord Jesus, you will understand this. And what he is trying to do, and what he's almost successfully doing, is he's replacing the true traditional Christian faith in America, the foundation of the Christian faith in America. He's replacing it with a false gospel, no gospel, self-centered, egotistical, narcissistic Christianity that's out for entertainment, money, and themselves. That's it. That's why Joel Osteen is so popular. That's why all these Bible preachers and ministers, so-called, that are on TV, that are living in mansions and have gold rings and Rolls Royces and fly jet airplanes around. That's why the Paula Whites, the Benny Hinns, the Joel Osteens, the T.G. Jakes, all these people, that's why they're so popular, because they are appealing to the mass of apostate Christians. They're leaving the church in droves to go to these people because they're telling them what they want to hear. They're telling them you can be rich, wealthy, have fun, live your life, and everything's wonderful. You have all the things in the world you want, and you'll be happy. Why? Why would you even want to go down the road of suffering with Jesus? No, you don't want to do that. You want to live a good life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. It's these lies that they teach. So that's what's happening. He's replacing it. He says there's two kinds of peace. There's two kinds of ways that this has happened. One is personal peace, which is, he mentioned that it was, leave me alone. I want to do what I want to do. I don't care about the other guy. I don't care about my neighbor. I just want my life and my lifestyle, and don't judge me. And two is affluence. That is the accumulation of things, wealth, and success. He goes on to say that reason led to despair. Reasoning, the worldly type of reasoning, not the scripture type of reasoning. Reasoning led to despair, non-reason, and no fixed values. He said in the early 60s, a whole generation had been injected with the teaching that reason leads only to pessimism in the area of the meaning of life and of the values. Students had this from their professors for a long, long time. It was pounded into them. Drugs was big to get people to find truth or in their own heads or in their own minds. And free speech was slipped in by the left and liberalism and communism. Free speech was just a ability to have people get up there and voice their opinions. And they used the right of free speech to propagate all kinds of false, filthy garbage, communism, socialism, eugenics, all these other kinds of things. And this is how they got it in there so that people can adhere to this. And it was pounded in by liberal, communistic, evolution, humanistic professors in their universities. And the students just soaked it up like a sponge. He said that humanism is man looking to himself for answers. And this is very dangerous. It's a false, naturally, because man is flawed and depraved. He said that humanism, that is man beginning from himself, cannot generate any real values or meaning or dignity to man. He said that communism is built on materialism. Communism uses Christian terms to catch people in their philosophy, but sounds good to individuals. But when it comes to power, it is awful. That is, when communism comes to power in countries, it's awful. Look at the horribleness of North Korea. He says, as Christian consensus or influence dies as the basis of our culture, there are other influences that try to dominate. So he is believing that the Christian consensus, or that is that the majority of people in the United States are true born-again Bible-believing Christians, when that time was, it was a much better time. And now that it's being taken over and we're losing that Christian consensus, we're losing that influence in the culture, and we're losing that influence in the culture is because many people have stepped away from the truths of the scriptures. They've stepped away from the truth of the gospel in obeying the commands of the Lord Jesus, living a holy and righteous life and obeying Jesus and doing what he said. It's not about joining into the culture so you can be with them and they'll hear you with the gospel. It's about living a different life. It's about being different from the culture so that those can see, just like I read at the beginning here in Titus, living a holy and godly life in this present age, that people can see this person is living a godly life. Unbelievable how holy they are, that the Lord Jesus is living through you, and that they would want that. That's how change comes about. Not by being elected into office so you can create laws and rules that will force people into Christianity. You're never going to force people into Christianity. Just as much as in North Korea, they're not going to be able to force people to worship Kim Jong-il or whatever his name is. You're not going to be able to do it. There's an underground church there, very strong. God will get into the deepest, darkest recesses of the world And if it's oppressed, people will find him, because the Holy Spirit has – you can't chain the Word of God. You can't bind the Word of God. You can't bind the Holy Spirit. He says that hedonism is that you do your own thing, which is bad. And I know there's people out there that will say, oh, Christian hedonism and all that. No, hedonism is bad. It's doing your own thing, whatever you want to do. He says 51% of the vote, that meant total dominance. That is that 51% say it is, but only after there is no absolute by which to judge the 51%. He says that there was a time when a lone Christian in America could stand up with a Bible in his hand and say to the 51% majority, you're wrong. You're wrong because the Bible says you're wrong. And people respected that. They respected the authority of the Bible. And today, that authority of the Bible has waned and has disappeared to the degree that you're talking in minor half percentages of people who actually believe the authority of the Bible. It's being trampled upon every hour of the day. It's just horrible. It's just awful. So those are the kind of things that he was talking about in this video of how should we then live. And I think the Bible's really clear, and that's why I quoted Titus in the beginning, because how we should then live is like as Titus 2:12, 13, 14 says. We should live righteously and holy and godly in this present age. So in that sense, we must live for Christ. We must live for the Lord Jesus, follow him with everything we have, and not worrying about mixing ourselves with the culture and trying to wear the same kinds of clothes and talk the same way and act the same way. We ought to be completely different from the world. So much so, as God has said, that we're his peculiar people, that he has set us apart to be a people above all else for him, that he will get the glory on the earth, that people will see us, they will see the Holy Spirit working in us, they will see the living Lord Jesus in us and desire to have what we have. Amen.